Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message.
About total reality. Not just about religious things. Biblical Christianity is truth concerning total reality. And the holding of that total truth and then living in the light of that truth. I like that. Jesus is about every area of our lives. He's about your total person. He's about your total existence. Every dream, every desire, every passion you have, he's all about it. Give your whole self to him and let the total reality of Christ show up in your life. I love that. So here's a man born blind. What does Jesus have to do with our sickness and disease? Well, he came to set us free from them. Is he concerned about our eyesight? Yes, he is. He wants our eyes to be healthy and to be strong for the rest of our lives. So whatever the issue is, Jesus is the total reality of that issue. And we've got to step away from the wisdom of man and religious tradition and realize that Jesus literally is the reality I'm looking for. He's the answer to my eyesight. He's the answer to my shoulder. He's the answer to my car payments. He's the answer to the job I'm looking for. He's the answer to the opportunities I need to fulfill my destiny. That he's the total reality about every aspect of my existence. If we put him in a box over here as a hopefully someday get to heaven Jesus, we're going to miss out on the right now reality of his power and his love and his glory today. And I don't want to miss that. How about you? I want to experience Christ today. And I don't want to just experience him at 10:05. I want to experience him at 10:05 and 30 seconds and 10:07 and 12:02 and 1:30 and 5:28 and midnight and 3:30 a.m. I want to experience him all day long. Why? Because he never sleeps. So let's go to John chapter 9. And we're looking at the person of love, the person of truth, the person of grace. We're looking at total reality interacting with people. And I'm going to start in verse 1 again. John 9, we got as far as verse 5. last week. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So let's get into the thinking a little bit. Instead of thinking, Jesus, you're here, touch that man so he can see, where does their thought process go? They're not even thinking of healing. They're trying to assign a blame. They're thinking of what's the issue here? Is he a sinner or his parents a sinner? Verse 3, Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause and effect here. Look instead for what God can do. And this is what we were exhorting you in last week. We tend to want to find out why in life. Why was he born blind? Was it his sin? Was it his parents' sin? Was it their diet? Was it? We can just search. We can Google the rest of our lives away. But what if instead of Googling, what if instead of asking the opinions of man, what if you look to Jesus to see what he could do? And I'm telling you, you have to be determined. You have to be willing to let go of everything you've ever known and look to Jesus alone.
And I want to highlight here, too, the forward nature of this type of thinking. It's not looking back to assign why. It's looking forward to say what. What? Well, we know who, God, yeah. Right? But you know, it is so true what we're accustomed to, Joseph. We really have to shake ourselves from what our normal pattern of thinking is. And that is, truthfully, looking back and trying to figure out why. But our future is where our life is. We are not going back. I mean, many of you may want to go back, but the reality is your future is up in front of you. And so we need to look not back with whys, but forward with who's and what's and how. How is God going to do this? What can God do? Yes. It's going to take a shifting of practice. So catch yourself, when something happens, instead of looking back saying why, in that very moment that you normally would have looked back and said why, let's have a shift in thinking and do just what Jesus said here. Let's look ahead, look instead for who and what is going to happen.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Verse 5, for as long as I'm in the world, there's plenty of light. I am the world's light. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Let's keep going. Verse 6, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. You hear that? And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Pay attention now. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now here's what religious tradition do. They'll travel to where Jesus was. They'll put that clay in bottles and sell it. They'll go to the pool of Siloam. So they'll start bottling that water and say, here, drink this water, wash in this water, and you'll see. Why did Jesus do that? Listen to me now. Hear me. Because there is something that happened in Western Europe called the Age of Reason or the Age of Man, where man began to focus on his intellect. And the intellect was exalted, and boy, is it ever exalted today in Western culture. But if you will walk with God, he will ask you to do things that do not make sense. Now listen to me. You go all the way back. I'm just thinking of Jericho, one example. But there are many, many, many. Here's one we just read in John. So here's God's people. They are to take the city. It's a fortified city with a high wall that can't be penetrated. And what does God instruct them to do? To march around it silently. Now, that would be suicide if you went to the War College. Right. We lived near the War College for many years.
Right.
That's a military strategy that's suicide. They were to silently march around that wall while their enemies inside could easily be shooting arrows at them, throwing things on them, to march around that wall silently and then do that for 6 days in a row. And on the seventh day, they were to shout. That makes no natural sense. None whatsoever.
Love it.
The Lord, they wanted water. The Lord instructed Moses to speak to a rock in the desert. What? That makes no sense. It's a dry rock in a dry desert, and your water's going to come out of that rock.
Water from a rock.
Are you kidding? We could go on all day with the way God leads his people. Here's Jesus. Why did Jesus do that? Because he was doing what he saw his Father doing. The Holy Spirit instructed him to do that. There was nothing special about clay. There was nothing special about the saliva. There was nothing special about the pool of Siloam. In that moment, the Holy Spirit said, Jesus, I want you to spit on the ground. I want you to make clay out of that spittle. I want you to put it on his eyes. And I want you to instruct that man to go wash in the pool. Why? That takes faith. Not reason. And here's a man, this guy just spit on me. He put it on my face, and now he's telling me to wash it off. What in the world is that going to do? No, this man had to exercise his faith.
Yeah.
He had to believe that God knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And if you want to experience and fulfill your destiny, you're going to need to learn to walk with God and go places where you may not feel like going, do things that don't seem to make sense. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is instructing you to do it. Mm-hmm. This is the only time we have any record of Jesus doing something like that. Oftentimes people just touched him. Sometimes he just spoke. And what religion tries to do is put one way in a bottle. It's always got to be this way. No, God's not locked into a bottle. God's not a genie in a bottle. He's the living author of life. And when he leads you, you go with that. Hallelujah.
That's so fun. That's so good.
It's so good.
You know, even when Jesus does miracles, we've seen the...
Yeah.
Even when Jesus do miracles, people look back at it and say, why? No.
Yeah.
That's not the point of this. Again...
Keep looking at Jesus.
Look at the nature.
Not
even
the clay.
I love the nature of forward is mentioned again even in the pool that Jesus sent. It's called sent. That's forward. That's forward. We're moving forward. And so really, we need to eliminate why. I don't see that Jesus explained why he told him that. Jesus oftentimes is not going to explain why he's telling you
and
to do something.
And you'll find God will often not either.
No. No.
He just wants you to do it.
Well,
Walk with him.
That makes sense because Jesus is a representation of God, right?
Sure.
So, you know, we really need to get comfortable with leaving that why question behind and start asking the question, how? What? Yeah. How and what is he going to do? How and what is he going to do? That is forward. It is full of faith. And it is where life is at. Ooh, it's so good.
Peter comes to Jesus. Jesus, we need money for taxes. Peter, go catch a fish. You're going to find the money we need for you and me in the fish's mouth. Okay, Jesus, you just flipped your lid. That's stupid. No, that's God's instruction. Listen, I'm asking you to let go. To listen to the Spirit of God in your life, to look to Jesus and see what he can do. We have exalted the intellect to the nth degree in our culture. It's all about what you can do with your mind. And God gave us our mind, and we've been made in the image of God. It's very powerful. But compared to simply listening to him, there is no comparison. If you'll just walk with him, he can do in a moment what you can never do with the greatest intellect on earth. Let's keep reading. You stop me if you want to stop me there. All right. So he came back seeing. Now you think people will be like, wow, this man was born blind and now he's seeing. But that's not what they're excited about. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. And then he said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him who formerly was blind to the religious experts who were clueless, by the way. Now, it was a Sabbath, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. According to the religious experts, you weren't allowed to do this on the Sabbath. God was breaking the rules. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he received his sight, and he said, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God." Why? He broke the rules. "Because he does not keep the Sabbath." This is what religion does, guys. God will move powerfully in your life, and you'll go to some places, and they will discount it. They'll criticize you, but you stay with Jesus. Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. So the religious experts are saying, this guy's not from God. He broke the Sabbath. Others saying, "But look, he just healed him." There's confusion in the camp, huh? They said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes." And the man says, "He's a prophet." He's afraid, too, of the religious leaders. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received sight until they called the parents of him. See the hardness of heart here? So hard to believe God. So hard just to act on what he said, because we've got to be right. And they asked him, saying, and this is what will happen if you're so set on finding the why or assigning blame, you'll never be free. Let go of why and who did what and why they did it and who didn't do that. Just let it all go and look to Jesus. Yeah. That's where your freedom lies. Yeah. And they asked him, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But what means he now sees? We don't know. Who opened his eyes? We do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He'll speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the religious experts.
They're scared. What's going to happen? Woo! Whoa, wow, wow, wow.
Fear is a damnable thing. It will trap you. Fear of man is a trap. Fear of any kind is a trap. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue.
Exactly.
Wow. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him. We don't want to get kicked out of this religious tradition." So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." See the gross darkness in tradition. He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." That's all you need to know.
There you go.
It's very simple. There's nothing complicated about this. Then they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered and said, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Ooh, he's getting sassy
getting
now.
Fresh.
Then they reviled him. Right. He's in trouble. "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples." Oh, boy. "We know that God spoke to Moses. As is for this fellow, we do not know where he's from." This I say there. Oh, excuse me. I don't have time to get into that scripture.
No,
I was going to go to Ephesians.
Right,
let's keep going. Let me see how far I can go.
Very good.
Let's go to verse 30. "The man answered and said to them, 'Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from. Yet he opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God, he does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of the one who was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing.'" For time's sake, let's see. I'm going to finish. They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sin and you are teaching us?"
Right.
And they cast him out. He just got the boot. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus told him, "I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind." Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, "Are you saying we're blind?" He said, "If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty." Jesus replied, "But you remain guilty because you claim you can see."
Wow.
Powerful passage. Hallelujah. I want to tell you what happened to me this week, and then we'll pray and we'll finish up here. Here we see a situation where the light of the world comes in to a man's darkness. He's born blind. He's never been able to see. And the disciples of Jesus are arguing about sin and blame. And Jesus ministers sight to this man. He opens his eyes. And that causes a huge stir. Then people start arguing. They get the religious experts and they bring the parents in. And they're all looking at the wrong thing. They're all trying to figure out why, how, who broke the rules. This man's a sinner. That.
Right.
And here's the thing. In our lives, we can look at the wrong things, but the answer we're looking for is above all of that. And as long as you're looking at blame and down here and trying to figure out why and bitter about what so-and-so did, you'll never be able to arrive at your answer. So I'm just going to tell you about my computer. Can I tell you about my computer? We have some time. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I've got an external hard drive connected to my new laptop, and it's got all my backups on there. I mean, going back to when I first had a computer, you know, backups from, you know, when Moses spoke to the rock kind of thing. And so there's years and years of work on there. And so I go to access it, and on my computer, when you connect the external hard drive, it'll show up in your Finder in the column on the left. Well, I couldn't access it. It's grayed out. So I open up the disk utility, and it's grayed out. So I try first aid. I try all everything I can do. I know to do. Then I go online. I watch some YouTube videos by computer experts. Then I go to the manufacturer forum, and I read all the community forums. I type in all my, you know, my problem. And basically what they were saying is you've got a bad heart, you've got a bad drive. It's defective and you need to replace it. So I don't want to do that because I got some information on there that I want. So I said, let me call the manufacturer.
Okay.
And I got a hold of them. And it was now I'm a little hesitant sometimes to call tech support. Sometimes they just read off of the same thing you're reading. But this particular guy on the other side of the world knew exactly what to do. I mean, he wasn't reading anything. So he said, do this. He said, go to the view menu. So I'm have my disk utility open, and I could see what everyone so far has said is a defective drive. It's grayed out. Nothing I do can get that thing to work. He says, go to the view menu and click on this option. When I did that, a level above my problem showed up.
Okay.
So I found out the problem was not the disk, it was what's on the disk. But if I wouldn't have clicked that menu, if I wouldn't have followed the instruction, I wouldn't have seen the level above my problem.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he did that, I thought, oh my goodness, there it is. And now I said, now I can fix it.
Okay.
And he stayed on the phone with me. We went through the process, problem solved.
Okay.
But there was something I couldn't see. I was going to man. I was going to the experts. I was reading everything. And I've been troubleshooting for years. I'm not a computer expert. But, I everything I read to do wasn't working. But I went to the manufacturer of this piece of hardware, and I got to someone who could take me higher, above what I was currently thinking and seeing. Jesus is that someone in your life. Look to him. Lift your eyes above your own intellect and reasoning. Lift your eyes above what man says is possible. I just feel like eyes are on the agenda for today. God has provided healthy eyes for you. In this culture, we've come to accept unhealthy eyes. But God has provided healthy eyes for you. Man doesn't know what to do with eyesight. God has provided health. He came to give sight to the blind. Does that include nearsighted and farsighted? Yes. Anything less than 2020, God's provided wholeness for you. Isn't that the ministry of Jesus? To open the eyes of the blind, to bring sight, to help us to see. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
You'll begin to see things, hope for things, believe things that man says are impossible when you lift your eyes up and look at him. Nothing is impossible with him. And then what do? You begin looking at him, you begin meditating on him, and you begin saying what he says, and you begin to experience what man says is not possible. Let's pray. Father, we lift up our eyes away from the experts, and we put them on Jesus. Show us what you can do. In your name we pray. In your name we pray. Help us to walk with you. Help us to stop trying to figure out why. To stop assigning blame. To stop thinking we can figure it out. And to just let you speak to the rock and bring the water. Let you bring the walls down in our life. Let you open our eyes. Let you provide the resources and money we need to do the things you've called us to do. I pray for this Highway family, that we'd be a people that walk with God, that believe you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. So good. Listen, if you are in the Tulsa, Oklahoma area, that's where we're currently located. We felt the Lord asking us to reposition us in the center of the country so we can spread out from here. But if you're in this area, we want to begin having pop-ups in August. If you'd like more information about that, we want to show up somewhere and just begin having fun and telling people how good God is and singing and jumping and dancing. So if you're interested in being in person with us in August, go to our homepage of our website, highwaychurch.us. Scroll down, you'll see it there. Just go ahead and let us know, and we'll keep you in the loop for when the first pop-up happens. We believe the Lord has directed us to have a cafe, to have a physical location that's just crazy fun, great coffee, great things to go with that coffee, and just a state-of-the-art auditorium where we can worship and praise and minister life to people through the gospel of God's amazing grace. So we appreciate you partnering with us. There's a whole lot to do. We are continuing to develop our online ministry, but we ask you to partner with us, to join your faith with ours, to pray for us, for our eyes to be open, to see clearly, for us to walk with God. And I'll tell you, it takes trust to walk with him. And boy, it's been fun doing it. Started at 17. I'm not turning back now. Just go where he leads you to go. Do what he calls you to do. And we ask you to partner with us in your faith, in your prayers, and in your finances. It takes moolah to do what God's called us to do, a lot of moolah. And we appreciate you believing God with us for every dollar, every $10,000, every $100,000, every $1 million we need to do what God has called us to do. So you pray about it. You seek the Lord. But we invite you to worship God with your money and to partner with us in the work that God's called us to do. We believe we have a message that is custom made for this day, for people to be set free. And if you want to partner with us, go to our website, highwaychurch.us. Click on Give in the menu. All the ways you can give are there. It's on your screen right now, highwaychurch.us/give. You can text 508-502-7733. You can mail a check to our P.O. box. Whatever you choose to do, do it with joy. Do it in faith. Do it hilariously. Be bold and watch what God is going to do. And you can do a one-time gift, or you can do reoccurring gifts, or you can just give every week different amounts as you're led. It's just fun to worship Him, mm-hmm. to partner with the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers in the work of the ministry, and watch what God mm-hmm. can do. So let's do that right now. Hold my phone up. We do our giving through digital devices. So I'm going to hold this up as we pray. Let's pray. Father, we worship You with our money. We come before You, Lord God, and we bless You with what You've put into our hands. We bring unto You, Lord God, at least 10%. And Father, we do it hilariously. So thankful that You are a provider. You pull things out of fish's mouths and pools and rocks, and You just do amazing things. And we thank You for doing things that we haven't yet imagined with our money. Lord, You said in Isaiah that You would give us treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. You told us in Proverbs that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And we thank You for it pouring into our bank accounts. In Jesus' name, amen. We bless you, Highway family. Amen. We thank God for mortgages paid in full in this church family. We thank God for automobiles paid in full. We thank God for supernatural increase and revenue coming from places you didn't even know existed. We bless you. We bless your family. We speak wholeness to your body, wholeness to your eyes, prosperity to your bank accounts, to your businesses, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Happy 4th of July. God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of His goodness, who He is, what He's done for you, and who you are in Him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life He came to give you.